Go to Philippians with me. Let me just show you something great out of Philippians. I will come back, I promise you that, once God keeps me alive. I will come back possibly next July or August. Every year we make that trip. I don't take vacation. I've been at the church where I am now. This is my 32nd year coming up. And I've never taken a vacation. What I do is when I take a trip like this, I turn it into my vacation. So I take my family and we come and we go places. But at the same time, I'm always on the run getting something done. I don't. All right, Philippians chapter 2. I want to show you a little something great here for a brief moment tonight. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse number 5 into verse number 9. In verse number 9, there is a statement made that I want to draw our attention to tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. It reads, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And I'm going to read verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Go back and watch verse number 9 with me a minute. Go back and look at verse number 9. It says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him." In reading God's precious word, the phrase caught my attention. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. And I went back into the text and looked at it a little bit. On the man that God exalts. Oh, in the text we know exactly who it is. But in the context, there is something more than just saying God exalt Jesus. For a little while, I want to show you what's the criterion that God measured him by in order that God exalted him. Let's pray, and we're going to get some help tonight. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you again for your word. I want to thank you for the sweet spirit in this wonderful little place. God, I ask that you would strengthen the man of God right here, Pastor Joshua. Then, Lord, I pray that you strengthen his people. And that, Father, somehow through your word tonight, when we leave the house of the Lord, we leave knowing fully well that we are in the realm of being exalted by you. Take control. Help me as I speak tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When it comes to persons and people, Jesus is number one. I don't care on what phase. You mention something and I could tell you Jesus is better than that. You mention anything. You mention business and I'll tell you Jesus is the best businessman. You mention sacrifice and I'll tell you Jesus made the greatest sacrifice. I mean, in almost everything. And I believe when in the Gospels, when the scripture said, "A greater than Solomon, his hair." You're speaking about Jesus. And in any aspect of Solomon's life you could look at, Jesus was greater. Now, we are in the New Testament. And Paul the Apostle is writing to encourage the church at Philippi. They've been in a lot of persecution, in a lot of suffering. And what he wants them to do in the midst of their suffering is to have a victorious life. So while encouraging or teaching or strengthening them that they be victorious, he did something that caught my attention. He presented to them God exalting Jesus. You say, preacher, Jesus was born God. Yes. The Bible said that when he was born, he was God in flesh. The answer said that he had no sin. You say, so preacher, God could have not done anything else but to exalt him. He's been perfect in every way. That's not what Philippians is driving at. Philippians is going to give the church at Philippi a picture that they could learn from. And I believe God wants us always to watch Jesus in the Word and learn from. So what it is that he says about him? He shows in from verse 5 downwards that Jesus had a mindset. Verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Hold on a minute, go back. What is he showing me here in the person of Jesus? That from the mindset of Jesus, Jesus made a choice as far as life is concerned. So he made what I call a choice to life. What did he choose? Read it in, go back and watch with me. Number one, he is God. But it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7 says, but what? But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus made a choice. And so the choice is that instead of just being God, he came down, he condescended, and he took upon him flesh. He became like us. He took upon him man. He took upon him our nature. And I know the Bible gives us lots of reasons in Hebrews why he did it. So he could feel what we feel. He could understand what we... There is nothing we face that he doesn't understand. But it was a coming down of him to do that. He is God. But he became flesh. He wasn't flesh that became God. He is God. And he became flesh. And I like to emphasize this. Sometimes you and I need to, from our mindset, have a come down attitude. Many a times a Christian is not effective where he is because his mindset is wrong. His mindset is that God saved him and God, listen, he knows he's on his way to heaven. And somehow the devil puts in us, and I say us being man, that now we're better than the people that we used to be with. Folks, that's far from the truth. Had it not been for his grace, we are exactly what outside is. I mean, in every aspect. And so the mindset has to be, although we're saved and we know where we're going, we need to come down so that we could reach others. I could use a lot of scriptures here, how Paul came down. Jesus, in his choice to life, came down. There is a condescension. And why did he choose to do that? So that he could feel what we feel. Notice what verse 7 says. But made himself of what? Of what? Hold on a minute. There's a sweetness in this little verse. When he came down and became man, the choice he made, he considered it as of no what. So who tell man they have greed? When he came down to be where we are, he said, I became like of no reputation. In other words, man in our natural state is of no reputation. There is nothing great about any human being. Of no reputation. Not only did he choose to come down, in his choice of life. But in the choice of life, he took up a course in life. And I want us to watch it. Three little things and we're done. Verse 6 and 7 again. Made himself of no reputation and took upon him what? The form of a... Of a what? Okay, watch this. Coming down is one thing. A man could come down, a prince could leave his environment of being a prince and come down to live as a regular citizen. But sometimes when he comes down and he begins to live as a regular citizen, he still has the behavior of a prince. In other words, the course of life, the manner in which he works, the respect he demands, the car he, in other words, he come down, but really coming down didn't mean that he go behave as they behave. Watch Jesus. That's not how Jesus did. He is God. He came down, but when he came down, the Bible said he took upon him the form of a what? A slave. A servant. He didn't come down and say, listen, you all have to understand, I am God. So I call in the shots. He didn't do that. He said, I didn't come down to be ministered unto. He said, I come down to minister and to give my life. In other words, I come down and I take the low part. I became a servant. Gentlemen, listen to me well. If our church, and this is a great place to say that, we've got more men in here than ladies. All right? Gentlemen, listen to me. For us to do much with what we have, we as men, as servants, anytime we feel that any work is too little for us to get involved in, we're no longer servants. So he came down and he took up the duty of a servant. Preacher, be a servant to God's people. And God tells us about that in Peter. We ain't supposed to be lords over God's heritage. Examples of the flock. Servants. By the way, servants are always exalted by God. And that's what's going to happen here. He took upon him the form of a servant. But not just a servant. Watch the text again. One who gives up himself for another's will, a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. In verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he did what? That's another good word. So watch this. He's a servant, but he's a humble servant. It is one thing to be a servant, but every servant is not a humble servant. And as a pastor being in the ministry for the time I've been, I can tell you this. Every person in church who does a work at church is not always a humble person doing it. Jesus is showing us something. He comes down, he becomes a servant, but becomes a humble servant. There is another word in verse 8, get it, and then I'm rushing this thing here. But watch verse 8 again. A humble, and he humbled himself and became what? Obedient. And we know he went to the cross. So watch this. He's a servant, humble, obedient. You can put those three words anyhow and it makes a lot of sense. He's a humble, obedient servant. He's an obedient, humble servant. He's a servant, humble, and obedient. However you put it. But those three qualities would change anything in any man, any person, being honest with you. Our church needs that. Came in here this evening. When we came in, the preacher said, man, the AC is going out. I don't know how he feels. Same thing, I mean, Lord, I got visitors. This is the best time for the AC to go out. You know? But I've been there, brother. I had some folks, first time coming to Grenada, first time staying at my home. I go to the airport to pick them up. And when I'm coming back to the airport, I'm going up to my house, and there's a gush of water coming down to meet me. My whole house flood. So I immediately have to, I've got visitors. My whole house is what? I've got, and so there they are, just coming in, first time to the island, and they've got to take their shoes off, get broom and stuff, and help. So I know when Jesus came down, it didn't matter what happened.
for us to become powerful men, trust me, we've got to take that from Jesus. Learn to come down, learn to become humble, and learn to become obedient to whatever it is that is given to us to do. Even, and he says that, even to the death of the cross. Jesus went to the cross knowing fully well what would have been the result. Then you read verse number 9 now. We're both done. Read verse number 9 now. He says, what's the first word in verse 9? Wherefore is always in a text referring to something that is past, right? Wherefore and therefore. Wherefore, God had highly exalted him. Having come down, and not because he's God, having voluntarily come down, humbled himself, take up that course in life, become a servant, obedient, humble, even to the point of death, the Bible says, God now lift him up. I believe we could get something from that. For God to lift us up. For God to lift us up. And you notice I did not say for the preacher to lift you up. Don't miss that. God doesn't look as man looks. Eh? And I don't care who the man is. Every preacher I know is short-sighted. We cannot see the perfect picture because we're not God. We sometimes misjudge people's action. We misjudge, and on we can go ahead because we're human. So I do not want people to operate just because Pastor Lambert is there. And by the way, I'm preaching to you as if I'm in our church. I do not want our folks to operate only because they see me. I cannot lift you up. I might give you a tap on the back, but when it comes to exalting you, I can't do it. Raising you to a level that people just admire, that's the word exalt. God couldn't do it. So I want people to work with whom? Work with God. Work with God. I've got a message, walk with God. But this is work with God. Just humble yourself. Become obedient. And watch God lift you up. Verse 9 and 10 says, God lift him up. And God gave him a name that is above every name. But people would say to me, oh, that's the name Jesus. No, that's not the name Jesus. And I could show you, I could prove to you that that's not the name Jesus. So what's the name God has given to him? It's not revealed there. That at the name of Jesus, that's his human name. But the name God gives him here now is a name that's above that, a title that's above that. God giving him a name that is above every name. That at that new name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. By the way, at the very name of Jesus himself, every knee one day will bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God lift him up so that that could happen. But he came before God lift him up. May we find some help tonight. Humble yourself. In due time, God's going to put you where people are surprised that he put you. Let's bow our heads. Let's just bow our heads. I've rushed through this. I've just rushed through this so that we can get something tonight. But I believe God gave us what we wanted, and he didn't let me miss that. My first issue, my first appeal would be this. Honestly, from our hearts tonight, I'd want us to pray, God, help me to humble myself before you. Become obedient to whatever you want me to do. And to trust you for the rest. Results are going to be in his hand. I'd pray for everyone tonight, and I'll turn it back over to the preacher. Father, you know the hearts of those present. My heart, all hearts. I ask you, please, Help us to come down when we have to. Father, to choose whatever course is going to be honoring to you. Help us to be humble, obedient, have a servant's attitude, and to watch you exalt us in due time. Bless this church. Bless the man of God. Bless the labor here, I pray. In Jesus' name.